Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome in to 11 Personnel presented by Monticello Bank. I'm Nick Rouse. Joined by Adam Luckett, doing the show live here from KS Office, where earlier today, Mark Stoops was talking with me and other members of the media. It's the bye week, so things got switched up just a little bit, ever so slightly. But we're here to talk football today. We also might be interrupted by some trivia from KSR's fearless leader downstairs. So, you know, this show could get weird, but it's a bye week. Let's get weird, Luckett.
Yeah. Nick, what you think of Stoops' press conference today? I have to admit, I only watched about 5 minutes of it today, but that seemed like at least the 4 or 5 minutes I saw was the most kind of open he's been to this point this season.
It's one of those things, too, Luckett, where, like, when I wrote out the quotes, they didn't sound like it didn't pop like it sounded, which that happens sometimes. Like, but I thought that, you know, overall, the point of emphasis was simply, hey, I like this team a lot. They aren't as selfish as they look. They're playing hard. They're working really hard. And I think we're close. And when he mentioned talking about Leary in the passing game playing better, I was like, all right, well, does that mean you're just going to keep nailing your head against the wall, or are you going to change things up? And he's like, I'm not going to get way into it, but yes, they are going to change things up.
Yeah, I thought that was definitely an interesting point. I don't think I got to that point in the press conference, but that definitely sounds like they're looking at potentially like schematic changes maybe on offense or some type of like a big change on offense, what they want to do. I thought the quote you pulled about how Ray Davis has been unselfish and the best things have happened to him so far, that sound like a
clear message. Yeah. But he also said, I don't think they're that selfish, but this guy's unselfish.
Yeah, you got to kind of read in between the lines there. Again, I go back to just the Missouri game. That opening script, like Davis, Timmy Sumokarngbe, and Tavian Robinson, that told me a lot about where they are and who they and we've heard in the past, Cohen's like, we're going to give the ball to guys we can trust. That's what that seemed like to me. When you're opening script, is your best stuff. You're opening the game with your best stuff, typically. So I found that interesting. Yeah, they're at a bit of a crossroads, it seems like, for the season. And even I think you can argue like program-wide crossroads. Like, they got to figure out this passing game stuff. Like they've kicked the can down the road long enough. And they're out of excuses to me. Like, if we're going to just be blunt about the situation, you know, you're paying an offensive coordinator $1.7 million. You went out and got the best portal quarterback. You said, you went and like won big boy recruiting battles for Dane Key and Barrion Brown. It's year two in your system. You know, you've got this stacked tight end room for your pro style scheme. And you've got like maybe the best pass catching running back in the country. If you want to make that argument, like he's been awesome as a pass catcher. So why I think it's fair to like wonder what's going on. Like, why isn't this working? Like, we got to figure this out. They've got too much invested with resources and their financial component of a football program. They've got too much invested for this not to be like what it is. I mean, Nick, they're like they're 114th in passing success rate. They're 108th in EPA per play. They are 12th in the SEC in explosive pass rate. Like, what's going on? Like, why is it like this? And then it's more of a big picture program problem, too, because this has always been an issue under Stoops. And I think they've made the right moves to try to get this fixed, but it's not getting fixed. So they have to figure out, like, what do we have to do to snap the ball to the quarterback and for him to be able to throw it to the receiver, and for it to have that, to be a functional offense that way. And it's something really important they got to figure out, I think, over these next five games. Like, to me, win losses are kind of, I mean, you want to win, obviously, but like, that's not the bigger thing at task here. It's, to me, it's figuring out, like, what do they have to do to kind of get a passing game going? Because they're going to have to rebuild a little bit next year. Like, Leary's going to be out of here, more than likely. You never know with the portal. So, the passing game, and I wrote a big thing on it at KSR Plus this week, which was pretty much like, every program in the SEC has been better at them, essentially, for a decade. Like, every other program has produced a 3,000-yard passer. They have not. They've been able to win games without it, but eventually, like, to continue winning, you gotta be able to throw the football, and you gotta have a infrastructure built where you can have a potentially a quarterback that can raise your program up a next level that people keep talking about with this team and with this program. So I just think it's really important that they gotta figure out something to throwing the football. I think it's fair to criticize because look at all they invested into throwing the football this year, and it just hasn't worked.
Yeah, and trying to do some midseason evaluation type stuff. I've done the report card bit too many years to do that again. But a lot of what I kept going back to is, what did we think this team was going to be versus what they are? And a lot of it's just coming down to throwing and catching, and they aren't doing a good enough job at that. I mean, plain and simple.
It's everything. And it's like the whole thing is just like, it feels just like broken. Like, they just can't do – nothing's easy. Even the little – they run the little where Berrien comes back the other way. It's like a boot almost, and he's wide open. You just dump it off to him. Like, teams typically get – like, they hit that behind the line of scrimmage. It's an easy 12-yard gain.
Yeah.
You know, Berrien's one-on-one with a guy in space. You can't make a – it's a 2-yard gain. It's like, that should go for 12 to 15. That should be a drive starter into at least field goal range there in a middle eight possession. Instead, it's second and eight. It's little things like that, like, and the drops on top. It's little things like that. Like, why is it so hard?
Yeah.
Like, it's so hard for them to get this thing going.
Yeah, it's not been fun. It is a lot of fun, though, on our chat on the YouTube. Like, I like Chaka Cummings chiming in. You know, he wants to know where the On3 sweatshirts are. Those are very warm sweatshirts. We can attest to it.
Yeah, I see someone in here, CTB, instead of RTDB, Nick, CTDB, catch the damn ball. Maybe we should make KSR shirts, CTDB, catch to the damn ball.
Catch the damn ball. Yeah, but I think On3 sells those on the On3 store. I don't know. I forgot how. I wish I had a better plug right now, but I think it's just On3.com. All the good stuff there from our On3 overlords. It's good to see you too, Chris. It's really nice to see you. Nice to see everybody here on this bye week where it is sort of a reassessment period. And look at you, you mentioned the, you know, things just looking kind of hard. The problem is I don't have like we want easy solutions, but I don't think there are any.
Other than catch the ball. That's really the only, like, when you're open, catch it. You know, I mean, they've taken away probably 300 yards from Leary. That might even be a conservative number just from drops.
Right. Between that and then the penalties compounding, I mean, they're giving away 70 yards of penalties a game. Maybe some of the stuff is just like, hey, that guy's playing 8 yards off Dane Key. Like, maybe let's just
throw it out there.
Snap it and throw it to him, see if he can make a guy miss because nobody else is missing. I wish we had some simple solutions. We asked for some questions on KS board, and we're going to get to the actual question of the week here in a little bit. But there was one about the tight ends like it, and that does bring up a fair point where how do you get the tight ends more involved in the offense without like going overbounds too much, right? Like, because, I mean, some of it is like you want to make it natural. You can't just force feed them. That's what gets you into trouble. But can they just split them out as receivers? Like, is that the best way? Like, I'm trying to search for answers there as well. Cause I mean, I remember Ah Dingle drop. He had a pretty big one that it felt like the drops were contagious early, you know, a couple weeks back.
But yeah, that was Vandy game. He had the drop. Yeah.
But for the most part, like, they haven't let us down yet. So, like, is it time that they just start using them more as simply receivers, lining them up that way? I feel like that is one way that you can sort of quote unquote reassess to get them more involved within this offense.
Yeah, I think Bates and Caddis have both had like penalty things pop up that, you know, you just can't afford to have at some points in drives. But other than that, yeah. But Nick, I think they're trying. I've seen them try to throw two or three tight end screens, and it's just getting blown up. To me, you have to worry, like, Leary's just height in the pocket on some of these. Like, especially, like, there was one they tried to run Saturday to Dingle. He just couldn't get it to him because the rush was coming, and, you know, it was just kind of a, to me, it was like a physical limitations thing from what I saw there. So you have to wonder, like, there's some frustration there. It feels like there's stuff they want to run, and he's having a difficult time running it. I don't think I'm being super critical there. I think you can see that. I think we keep hearing in the game, in the announcer, like the announcers in their conversations with Cohen, kind of alluding to the quarterback struggling in the system.
Yeah.
Like, they're pretty much saying that without saying it to me. We've heard it from Greg McElroy. You know, we got it this week from Cole Kubelik, who said he talked to the NC State people and all of this. So, and we got it from, I think, Jesse Palmer, too, kind of mentioned that. So, we got it from all that. So, it's like I think they're trying to find just kind of maybe a happy medium. And I think that's what a lot of this bye week is going to be, like finding stuff that Leary's comfortable with. And maybe eliminating the stuff he's uncomfortable with. To get back to Freddie's point, maybe we don't need to see the go balls or the out and ups anymore. I think you go back to it. I even wrote about this, and I looked it up today. Like, when you went back and watched Leary's tape, like, the best ball he threw was a go ball. And so I get why they're trying to run it, but it just hasn't, for whatever reason, they can't connect. And I don't understand why, but they just can't do it. And so maybe have to figure out, when you want to take a shot, maybe there's, you know, can he throw a post? I don't remember seeing a deep, I could be wrong, but off the top of my head, I don't remember seeing a deep post this year.
Maybe one, because I remember he didn't lead him far enough to, like, go run under, like, it. But yeah,
where are the deep over routes? Like, we haven't hit one of those yet. I'm wondering, if we hadn't hit them, can he throw them? Is it a thing? Maybe that's off the table. I don't know. It's just I don't know. There's just a lot, and like you said, there's no little fix. Like, to me, the defense has to play better, but I'm less worried about them kind of figuring it out. They have the pieces in place, and they have the program infrastructure, I think, because they've done it before and in the past, and guys that have been here before, where they'll figure it out. Where, heck, even, like, Nick, last week, there wasn't a – like, Ty Bryant won the game, and I didn't even notice Jordan Lovett was out. You know. David Rayner, I think, held his own there at off-ball linebacker. You wanted Trevin Wallace to be out there, but he wasn't. Like, oh, wow, they got to get that guy out. I think they're going to figure it out. And defensively, they had a good game if you just don't look at this point total. Like, they had a couple bad drives, and they kept an explosive Missouri offense in check. They just made some dumb penalties. If they can clean that up, I think they're going to be fine on defense. But offensively is where this team's biggest issues are, and specifically the passing game. You got to get that fixed.
They need to get Devin Leary more comfortable. You know how you can get Devin Leary more comfortable, Mr. Lockett? Get him some bird dogs. Completions.
That too.
Yeah, bird dogs be much more comfortable. They don't have football jerseys, but they do have comfortable polos, outstanding shorts. I'm looking forward to rocking my bird dogs while I'm walking around D.C. It's great. It's just comfortable. See, they got the underwear liner in there built in. They also got really nice.
Best of the best.
Really nice slacks too that – They feel like sweatpants, but they're not. They're dress pants. It's great. You're basically a walking cheat code when you wear bird dogs. Put in promo code KSR. They're going to throw in a hydro flask style water jug in with your purchase. Go ahead and get ahead of the holiday season. Shop bird dogs today. Birddogs.com/KSR is the promo code. We appreciate you shopping at bird dogs. And that's the part, too, like, where I can't even – like, the thing for me, too, is that the scripts have gone well for the most part in SEC play.
I think we may have lost Nick here.
This is just a, like, for lack of a better term, this is just our shit show. It's a bye week. We got Matt hollering downstairs. We got internet issues. But I think
you're bringing up a good point about the scripts.
Like, the scripts are going well, but then when there's no bread and butter to, like, build off of those scripts, where it's just like, all right, this will stop the bleeding. Some of it is self-inflicted mistakes, but I do think that Cohen really hasn't figured out, like, what the hell this offense does well. Yeah, exactly. Other than just, like, let Ray Davis do his thing.
Yeah, I've got thoughts on that, right?
Good, because Matt's about to share some trivia question and answer, so we need you to talk for a little bit.
I'll filibuster for us right quick here. The scripts is, to me, that's kind of a telltale sign of a good coordinator. Like, can you just, you know what a defense is going to run? Can you scheme up against that until they settle in? And I think Liam Cohen is really good at that. He's proven that. And I think that's one of the why we think he's a good offensive coordinator, and I think why he's still got a high ceiling potential as a play caller at a high level. It's because he's really good at scripting up them opening drives. But eventually, you got to settle in and just play football. And, like, you're not hiding anything anymore. It's just what you do best versus what the defense does best. And that's how you're going to go at it. I think for Kentucky, they're caught in kind of a awkward place right now when they're transitioning from this efficient, heavy run game into being more on the pass. The biggest problem I think Kentucky's getting into this year, Nick, is the run. Number one, the run game's better than we thought it was going to be. It's a lot better to me. Like, if you would have, like, I almost think the numbers are flipped from, like if you would have told me Kentucky was 114th in rushing success rate preseason, I would have believed you. And if you told me they were, you know, they led the conference in yards per attempt, I would have believed you, because I thought it was going to be more of a pass-heavy type of thing. But it's really been the opposite. But the problem is the ground game has just not been efficient. Like, they have been very boom or bust on the ground. You know, Ray Davis has been more efficient than the rest, but everyone else, like, they're getting explosive plays and they'll gash you, but they're creating a lot of second and eights, second and nines. We've already heard Cohen talk about it earlier this season about he'll start calling run plays on first down because they're getting in second and eights. You know, they're getting behind the chains. And so that's an issue. So you have that, and then you have an offense that really was explosive in the non-conference, but the SEC defenses since Vanderbilt has just totally taken the big play away. So now their balls they're completing aren't going for very many yards. Devin Leary, three games in a row, Nick, he's under 5 yards per attempt. He hadn't done that since he was a redshirt freshman at NC State. Like, this is a new area for him. And, like, I didn't think he played in the craziest good offense at NC State. It wasn't like he was in a top 15 offense, you know. He had some bad games, but they were never this bad. So that's a red flag to me. Like, this is three in a row that you can't figure it out. And so I just think they don't have – for it to get efficiency is really what you're talking about. Like, in-game, what can we do to move the chains? They don't have nothing, they don't have anything to lean on, really. Because even Davis, as good as he's been, he can have some lulls of inefficient runs. He can go 5 carries for 8 yards, but then he can bust one for 45, right? And so when you look at if you just do the box score math in your head, you're thinking, oh, so 8 yards carry, he had a pretty good game. But he has some moments where they're having a hard time carving out or staying ahead of the chains. And then the passing game on top of it. I think that is their biggest problem right now. They don't have anything to lean on from an efficiency standpoint. Where in the past, all you had to do was put the ball in 24's belly. And you say, go get us some yards, Chris. And he would go create a 4-yard gain out of a nothing being there. You know, now Chris had his limitations as a runner. When he got in the open field, he's not going to create a bunch of extra yards for you, but he was keeping your offense ahead of the chains, and he was getting you in manageable down and distances, and he was in a 4-minute offense. The dude was a weapon, an absolute weapon, and they're missing that right now because, like, they got that ball with 4 minutes left in the second quarter. In the past, Kentucky just runs it, right? Like, they probably run it down and get in field goal range. They just don't have that. They don't have that this year. And I think that's where a lot of the awkwardness in game is coming from. It's something they just got to figure out. But Cohen's been good scripting up drives. And I think that'll continue. I think they'll continue to start fast. But where this offense is going to stall out, that's where they got to find the biggest solutions. Like, what do they go to? What is their bread and butter, like you said? when, you know, the football game breaks out, when in the middle chunk, but that's where the football, where the game actually breaks out. What do they do in possessions 3 through 7? Because we know they're going to be good possessions 1 through 2. What do they do 3 through 7 that sets the stage for what they do possessions 8, 9, 10 that'll ultimately decide the game?
I'm listening to Matt's trivia question. How many players in the Cal era have shot 50 free throws better 80%? 83% from them. Tyler Hero is one of them.
Yeah.
I think Ulis. Ulis is a really good free throw shooter. He got fouled a lot because he's a tiny guy.
Uh-huh. What was Murray? I don't think he was that high free throw.
Yeah, I don't
think. Look in the chat. You got the answers? Let us know.
Yeah. Yeah, let us know. Because really, when Matt's talking, that's all we can hear.
Quickly. quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. Get those in the chat.
No, I'm Emmanuel, quickly.
Oh.
look, you got quickly, oh, too, man. If you could get them in there.
Man, that's a good – that's
that made me laugh. Deron Lamb, I bet, is up there, too.
Yeah, this is a great way to end before I take, like, 3 days off. Just hilarious stuff happening right now in this show. But I will ask you a question while Matt's asking a question. Pink asked me. I didn't have a good answer. I think I know some of it is just situationally. Like you said, they just run it out, but – what the hell's up with end-of-game defense and end-of-game situations being such a plague in the March Stoops era?
I don't know if I agree that it's just been a huge problem throughout the Stoops era. I think they've had bad moments, but teams are going to give up scores at the end of half. This year has been specifically bad. I mean, this is every game, essentially. They're giving up a two-minute drive. I don't have an answer why it's like that. To me, I don't think coverage as a unit, maybe they're playing on a string well enough and know what they want to do or what they want to give up. I think that's probably the biggest issue facing this team right now. They just have a lack of experience there in the secondary, really at cornerback. So they're just trying to work on how they go about fixing that. But that's the biggest – one of the biggest weaknesses on the team is that – that two-minute defense, and it's costing them big time. You know, Vanderbilt, not so much. Florida, not so much. But Missouri game, like, if they get a stop there, I think you could argue they probably win the game if they go into the half up 14-10 instead of down 17-14. I think you can make an argument they probably end up winning that game. Because it's a tough spot to play defense in because you don't want to get beat over top. And, but you don't. You're trying to keep it from field goal range, so you have to find that happy medium. And they've struggled at that. Now I will say they play 3 good SEC quarterbacks, so maybe that has something to do with it. Like if you're looking at numbers, Carson Beck and Brady Cook have probably the two up there with Jackson Dart and Jaden Daniels. Those are probably the 4 best numbers quarterbacks in the league, and they play 2 of them just happen to back to back weeks. So maybe that has something to do with it. But it's something they definitely need to get fixed because. Yeah. It's bad right now. It's really, really bad. I mean, that's swinging momentum and swinging. You're just giving away free points in the game. And you also have to, as a team, you have to be – like, you have to figure out your strategy here.
Yes.
If you're going to be uber-conservative on offense, you've got to get stops on defense. Like, you cannot just let them go and score.
I think that it's less of a two-minute defense problem over the years and more of a – we don't know what we're going to – are we going to be aggressive or conservative before half and finding the right medium.
Trying to play both sides on offense. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's more of an issue. And to your point, like, some crazy stuff does – like the Tennessee Hail Mary back in 2018. Like, you know, should that play have happened? No. But, like, some wild stuff happens every once in a while. Here's Nick Roush putting on defense coordinator hat. I'm freaking bringing 8 on first down. Right? Like, they want to get an easy drive starter, blitz their asses off the jump. Because, for one, you can't bring pressures later on, right? Because once the drive starters happen, they got to get going. You go for the kill shot early and land it, boom. Like, they might just be done. Now, is that aggressive? Of course it is. And it might shoot yourself in the foot, and you can't do it every time because then they'll pick up on your tendencies and just pick you apart. But I do think there's something to be said about just being aggressive off the jump and then kind of sagging off and getting in your cloud coverage or whatever the hell it might be for the rest of the rest of the Dales.
Yeah, and just like Peak has a stat up here. I mean, I think they're getting outscored in the middle eight, 31-7. I'm pretty sure that's it. They had the one touchdown against Florida. I don't think they've had an end of half touch score. I'd have to go back and run the numbers, but I think that's where they're at. I mean, they're just getting blistered in the middle eight.
And when
Stoops talks about situational work, that's what they're doing this week. 4-minute offense, 4-minute defense, 2-minute offense, 2-minute.
The defense got to stop today. In 2-minute, he said the offense played pretty well except for 2-minute drill, and defense got him. He's like, well, we needed one of those stops. Yeah. We also need to answer more of your questions. And your question of the week from KS Board is brought to you by KS Board and our friends at Game Time, where if you need tickets to go see something this weekend, whether you're – I don't think Game Time has KSR Game of the Week, Kroger KSR Game of the Week tickets for Friday night, but there's a lot of stuff happening. I know Drew used the Game Time app Tuesday night in Nashville to go to a show. Shows, concerts, or other ball games. Maybe we'd go to the NFL. Game Time, it's the best ticketing app in America. It's very simple, very easy to use. You click on the event you want to go to. You scroll through the stadium. They've got pictures of all of the seats, so you'll know your point of view. It has all of your pricing right then and there. And my favorite part, too, a lot of the times, the people that are selling the ticket through Game Time, they take Venmo. Venmo's not even – it doesn't even feel like real money, and you're going to get an even steeper discount when you use promo code KSR for your first purchase. Promo code KSR, Game Time app, or gametime.co. Go out. Watch something. Shoot from the hip. Do something fun this week. It is the bye week. It's going to be a lot of fun. Use the Game Time app. KS Board question of the week. We were efforting to have our guy, Big Play Ray, on the show. He had something coming up last minute. And it's a great way to kind of segue, because we've just been kind of party pooping and looking at all the downsides. But I do like, that this helps us look forward, think about the future. So why is everyone acting like Tennessee is some great team and Kentucky should be an underdog? They lost to Florida and their best win is against a 4-3 Texas A&M team at home, who was 4-2 when they ended the game. But nevertheless, last time I checked, their quarterback is Joe Milton. Is Josh Heupel off Kentucky defense the last 2 years, but this is a different offense. What can Kentucky do differently schematically to actually slow down Josh Heupel and the Vols?
Yeah, I have some takes on this, Nick, and even people in the chat. You can tell me I'm wrong if you agree with this. Our fan base has a tendency to, when one thing goes wrong, to think the world, the world's falling apart. To think Kentucky is the worst football team on the planet. Zach Gagan started what's the final record thread this week at the board? And there were a lot of 5-7 and 6-6s on there. Everyone's crapping on this Kentucky team. This is still a consensus top 30 team in the power ratings.
Not bad.
How they got beat. Nick, if you look at how they got beat against Missouri, they deserve a ton of criticism for that.
Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
But a lot of weird stuff happened that won't happen in a lot of these games. That very much was a one-score game that just turned ugly because Kentucky couldn't stop P.I.ing on the outside. So if Stoops
about those PIs.
And if they score a touchdown at the end, right there, they had a red zone possession. It's a touchdown game with 8 minutes left. It felt like that game was over at 35-21, but Kentucky was literally almost made it a one possession game.
Then 8 minutes left. So,
when things go wrong for this team, a lot of people assume the worst. Well, and so I think that has a lot to do with it. Tell me I'm wrong if you think I'm wrong. But
I think the part that bugs me more is it's not like when things go wrong, let's set the world on fire. It's more so this is the only team where things go wrong, right? Like, if somebody gets injured in the preseason, Kentucky's the only team injured. If you look around college football, like, this kind of stuff happens every single week across the sport. It's not like Kentucky's the only one making dumb mistakes and committing bad, egregious penalties.
Yeah. I agree 100%. I think there's a lot of, like, just step away from the fire for a second. The party's doing a little too crazy. Let's step outside and catch a breath here. You know, there's a lot of football left. All of these teams, Nick, even Alabama, is flawed. Like, they're going to be, if Kentucky plays well, these are going to be four-quarter games, all of them, that they're going to have a chance to win in the fourth quarter. I don't think they're going to lose them all. So, they'll probably win a couple. And I think they still got a great shot at 8-4. If things really go right, I still think they can get to 9-3. So, let's just kind of take a deep breath and step back. For Tennessee, I think, well, back to your question, I think, you know, it's hard for a lot of people because of the logo. I mean, people are going to get helmet logoed. Yeah. This week,
myself included. We've got PTSD. Like, there's no denying it.
It's not just that. I think a lot of fans who probably haven't seen Tennessee yet, like, are going to be shocked when they watch Tennessee Saturday against Alabama.
Hendon Hooker ain't walking through that door.
Then they'll probably think that Alabama's just great. But, like, Tennessee, like, they're 13th in the SEC in explosive pass rate. Joe Milton's got one of the worst explosive pass rate numbers in all of college football for a starting quarterback. They're having a hard time creating explosives, throwing the football. They're winning with defense and run game. The reason, like, Florida ran away from them is because Florida ran the ball and stopped the run. And so, like, could that happen in Lexington? I think so, but, I mean, they have to go do it. There's definitely a – there's like a cloud hovering over this game. And I think it's leaked into the team too of what, you know, Tennessee gets the breaks in this game, essentially. I mean, that cloud is hovering over Kentucky and they got to, you know, bust it and get it out of the way.
Well, and we'll
see
what?
If they can do it.
We discussed that with Jason Anderson last week. A cloud was hanging over this game for the other fan base over at Missouri, and they broke it with a 39-yard fake punt. I mean, that's one of those plays that Kentucky was making in this series up until this year. So maybe the Cats can flip the script against Tennessee.
Yeah, that's another thing about that Missouri game. There was like five plays like that, that if any of them, I think, go the other way, Kentucky has a real good shot to win. That's the big one. Yeah. I think, you know, the go ball, if Leary has a better throw, that game's probably over. I think, you know, the pass interference, Andrew Phillips, is a big one. You're up 21-20. In the fourth quarter, essentially. And then I think, you know, Barry Brown's fumble. Even though Missouri only kicks a field goal, Kentucky had a chance to flip that game and get back in front, and that just kind of – they lost a lot of momentum there. Then it took them a whole quarter, I think, to get back, and then they ruined it again by getting a P.I. call. I mean, but I don't think – like, you're looking at 38-21. I don't think that was a 38-21 game. And Parker Fleming's stat award, he does the how bad
success
did we get
rate.
Beat.
Yeah.
Kentucky was like this much ahead of Missouri.
Yeah.
Like it was very much a 50-50 game.
Yeah. And
so it wasn't
got
like
rock quickly.
Kentucky didn't get their brains beat in that game. But it feels like the reaction is that they did. But they deserve that criticism because of how sloppy they were.
Yeah. If you want to get any more questions, chat with us, chop it up, KS Board, KSR Plus. We have a lot of fun on there. You should go check it out. You should go read what Luckett had to say about the Kentucky passing game. You've heard his thoughts here. You've got plenty more there. On KSR Plus, he's also one of his gambling picks. We got a pigskin preview coming out tomorrow. We taped it earlier today, though. We already lost a point in the Iowa spread, and I didn't get it in early enough. That's my own darn fault. I didn't get it in early enough. We appreciate you all chiming in with us. We also, I greatly, greatly appreciate Shane Beamer giving me a reason to smile this week. The dude is the king of content, and even if it's bad, he is just the gift that keeps on giving, because as we picked on Pigskin Preview, we were riding high on the Gators. The money line bet came through. They erased a 10-point fourth quarter deficit. Beamer was, he was hyping up the crowd, Williams-Brice Stadium. In the fourth quarter, he was lit. He was ready to roll. Then they fell apart. In the post-game presser, he was, oh, we called pressures and we didn't run them. And he was, you know, quick to blame somebody else besides himself. That's his move. And then he went and broke his foot because he went out and kicked something like it. He's just, I don't know if he's a meathead. He's a baby. I don't know what his deal is, but he is something else. I'll tell you what. And I just, I laughed so hard at his demise.
He's an emotional train wreck on the sidelines. But I'll say that, like, watching that game, we were on Florida. And in that game, I did mention, like, man, these dudes, they just coach their ass off. They really do. Like, they figure it out, and they give their team a good plan. And they ended up losing it for, you know, the defense stinks down there. For whatever reason, it's been bad all 3 years. But for him, it's been an interesting year for Beamer. Like, it starts with, you know, all them players leaving after last year, after they had this breakthrough season, you know, get those two big wins, get to play Notre Dame in the Gator Bowl. And then, like, hire Dell Loggins, and he goes after Gene for whatever reason.
I don't know, Gene.
And then, you know, Juice Wells gets injured, and they still won't say he's out for the year. It seems like he's out for the year. I don't know. But he keeps on, oh, he's going to see a specialist, yada, yada, yada. You know, first game, they just, Rattler just gets beat to a pulp. They've kind of fixed that, but it's still a big issue for them. I just, you know, they're losing games. They really needed to win. I just don't know. Like, it's really, it seems like he's lost a good amount of the momentum that they built last year. I mean, because Nick, you pull up their schedule, they got a real chance to go like 4-8.
Ooh, that would be a real shame.
Like, if Vanderbilt's going to get a shame. If Vanderbilt's going to get a win in conference play, they go to South Carolina and they host Auburn in November. Like, if they're going to win one, it's going to be one of those. You know, it could be look real bad for Beamer if they lose. And he's got to play America's team, Jacksonville State, in November too. Rich Rod's coming to Williams-Rice.
Man, so it's going to be a tough game, especially the way they run the football, play keep away.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean they'll win that game because they should be able to just score, pretty much throwing it wise against Rattler, but and then you know Clemson will be in a revenge spot. They get Kentucky in a revenge spot. It's like things are looking a little bleak for them. I mean this isn't I think an important game. He hasn't beaten Missouri yet, but it does seem like publicly, people know how we feel about the guy, but it does seem like publicly there's been a lot more like people are starting to get. Like, well, this guy's a phony.
People don't get mad at his antics. They get mad when he blames players or starts making excuses. Because that, the thing against North Carolina and Charlotte that started the year, that.
Yeah, I've skipped over that, the chain game, about something that didn't really even matter because they got the onside kick anyway.
Yeah, that got people on the radar. And then him breaking his foot, kicking something after the game. The clip of him.
It's just been a weird. It's just been a whole weird calendar year for him. Like it's just been weird. Like what's going on down there?
I mean, imagine being his wife. Like, what are the conversations that he's having at over the kitchen counter at night? Just like, oh, I mean, what am I? Or it would be funny if he's just this emotional roller coaster everywhere except at home. Like he goes home and he's just stoic.
Yeah. He's a roller coaster on the side. I mean, he's just like. And there was a video, I think, I saw Cousin Shane put it out, but I think podcast, like an LSU guy made it. And it's pretty much just like him going through like all these, I'm not going to be just this emotional train wreck on the sideline, guys. And it's just showing him just doing all kind of like just losing his mind, man. After games.
Which if you want to feel good about the Kentucky-Tennessee game, Shane is backing the Vols. He has a bourbon bet with me and, I think he's lost every bet he's ever placed this year. I mean, he had to drink 17 beers during a show tonight because he lost a bet. Wore clown makeup. He had to walk like 13 miles. I mean, he's been a big ass loser this fall. So, shout out to the guys that SEC podcast. We've enjoyed him. There is some fun games happening this weekend, even though Kentucky's not playing, and we'll be playing them on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. The easiest way. To play when you're getting in on the action this fall in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. That's right. We got mobile sports betting now. It's great. You can play live lines. They even have a great tracker there where you can follow along with what's happening and jump on it live. It's a lot of fun to play. Put in promo code PERSONNEL when you sign up. You bet $5. You get $200 in bonus bets added to your account. You need to play those pretty quickly, but go ahead, do that. Lock in FanDuel, promo code PERSONNEL or FanDuel.com/PERSONNEL. $5 bet, your first $5 wager, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you're playing with FanDuel and the FanDuel Sportsbook app, an official partner of the NFL. Get hot, stay hot, too. I'm finding nice spots in the NFL, but this is an NFL podcast. This is a college football podcast. There's still some big games. One that I'm intrigued by this week and that's a little bit more off the radar is that Arkansas-Mississippi State game. Like, how much life does Mississippi State have in them? What kind of team will Kentucky face down the road? And then Auburn, I'm a little intrigued by them as a road dog, just because Ole Miss, like, or no, they're at home. Excuse me, a home dog.
Yeah,
you know, and you're like, Ole Miss, feel like they've kind of been playing out of their shorts. Hugh Freeze is probably going to get one big win in his first year in SEC, so those are exciting. Those are some exciting games we'll be tuning into Saturday.
Yeah, don't forget about the Kiffin Auburn storyline either. Like, they wanted to hire him. He turned them down. That allowed Freeze to get a job. So that night crowd there, they're going to be fired up down the plains. And you're right. This is an opportunity for them to get a big win in his first year. So it's going to be an interesting game Saturday night.
This is typically the part of the podcast where we put together a Kentucky single game parlay. We know a lot of you all are riding with us. We appreciate it. We're getting closer. I think we had 4 of 6 last week. We might knock it down to 5. But look, we don't have a Kentucky game. So what should we do for our single game parlay this week?
Well, to really have fun with this, you got to go to the Iowa Hawkeyes because they are the greatest show
the Hawkeyes
in football right now. So, Nick, they're playing hell yes, Shaka. You jump all over that under. The lower, the better. It's 31.5. They've had the 2-3 lowest totals in college football the last 2 years. One was Kentucky. It was 31. Easy cash. 21-0. The other was when they beat Minnesota last year, 14-10, in blistering conditions up there in Minneapolis. That one was, I think, 32, 33. So they're doing it again. I mean, the Breaking Bad mean he can't keep getting away with this. I see some people throwing that out with Kirk Ferentz. I mean, it's very true. I mean, they might not score more than 14 offensive points in a Big Ten game and make the Big Ten championship. I mean, this is the path we are on in Iowa City. And so Iowa under 31 or the team total under 31.5 is definitely going to be our the game total under 31.5 is definitely going to be a play for us here. And then we're also going to take an under on our guy Deacon Hill passing yards. Nick, his passing numbers have been bad. It's 99.5, but I don't care. We're going to take under 99.5 Deacon Hill passing yards. We're going to do under 0.5 passing touchdown on Deacon Hill. And then rushing yards, we're going to go under 57.5 on Caleb Johnson. And if we're going to play the total, we got to do this first quarter spread, Nick. The first quarter total is 6.5. So give us an under on that. So we've got what the game total. We got the first quarter total. We've got the Deacon Hill under passing yards. We've got Caleb Johnson under rushing yards. Need one more. Let's just keep with it. First half total under 15.5. So just do whole thing.
This is the mega under.
Yeah, just under bowl. Just under bowl. If we hit this, I'm going to retire. Like, I'm literally going to retire if we hit the under bowl in Iowa, in the Battle of Floyd. Floyd and Rose, Iowa, Minnesota. What is the weather going to be in Iowa City?
We need to look that up. Just a quick update.
It's actually not going to be that bad. 60 degrees and windy, 15 to 16 mile an hour winds.
Oh, so yeah, that's what we need to get that NFL kicker to calm the hell down. Matt did give us the answers from earlier on the free throws. Hero, quickly, Ulis. One we didn't have. Maxie, Dominique Hawkins, and Julius Mays. Julius Mays. That's a fun one.
Yeah, that is. Those slash two would have been tricky for me to get.
One, the ultimate under, though. The under bowl. We're wearing our underwear to the under bowl. Iowa under city, baby. Iowa under city in Iowa City.
Nick, I got a question to ask you before we get out of here. And you, in the chat, come join me, too. Does Devin Leary have a 300-yard game before the season ends? Passing. Passing yards.
I'm going to say no. Because
you're going through it, my man.
Thing is
he's had one. He's had one against Akron.
Because, Missouri was the team to do it against, right? Like, their passing defense is really, really bad. Vanderbilt, bad passing defense. They even hit on some shots there. So, I don't know. I mean, the way that it happens is Dane and Barry on break out of the sophomore slump. Like, and really, that's the part that's even most frustrating is, like, as bad as he's been, if those guys – like, we haven't seen that Barry on play where he's just going
– We haven't seen the big yard after catch play from any of them, really.
Yeah.
Or the yards after catch. Yeah.
Yeah. So there should be one. Actually, you know what's going to happen? Like, he's going to get it against Louisville. Right? Like,
that's in the chat already, I think. Tom Saylor said it.
So, yeah. Tom, thanks for convincing me. I didn't see that. I came to that conclusion on my own. But it's probably going to end up. Either that or South Carolina, because you could see that South Carolina game.
Yeah. To me, I think it's going to happen. I think we're going to eventually see them break through. I voiced criticism and concern about the offense earlier, but they have the talent. I think Cohen's a good play caller. He is. They're struggling a little bit right now. They're going to figure it out, and sooner or later the switch is just going to It's going to click, and I think they'll get it. And they play two bad pass defenses. Not even getting – like, Louisville is one of the better pass defenses they have remaining on schedule. But Mississippi State and South Carolina both bad on defense. Like, I think they're finally – it's going to click at some point, and they're gonna get there. That's my prediction. I think we'll eventually get there. I think you look at Leary. I know we're being critical of him, but he's on pace for 24 touchdowns, Nick, like 2,500 passing yards. That'll be like the second best passing season under Stoops, you know, if he hits that. So, like, you know, that just tells you how low the bar is. Like,
yeah.
That would be
more
acceptable. Yeah. I mean, but I guess my thought is, should we, like, what did I miss and what did we miss? We should have probably saw these, maybe some growing pains coming. We just assumed that they would. Question is, how do we get lost on just assuming he was just going to be potentially an all SEC quarterback?
Because our line of thinking was they've got four games to make sure they're firing all cylinders, and they didn't get that way, right? Like, we thought in that long runway to start the season, that there would be growing pains, but they would get through them by that point and they'd be humming by the time SEC play starts. And that just didn't happen. They never found their bread and butter plays. There were some explosives in there, but they didn't have that clean football moment during that first month of the season. So when October rolled around, now we're seeing those growing pains hit a hard wall against SEC opponents.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and they just got to figure this out, but I think they will. I don't think this team is going to go 5-7. I think they'll figure things out, but definitely they're in a crossroads in a few different ways, so we'll see how they shake out of it. I mean, we're going to get into this next week, Nick, but this Tennessee game is just so big on every level, just any way you look at it. And it might be the best Pipel team that Kentucky matches up with to this point, just from like style of play. But can Kentucky take advantage? You know, it's just so big in so many regards. And they really need to come out and play one of their better games.
There's a lot on the table. We appreciate you all sticking with us through what's been an eventful show. It's been a lot of fun. And we appreciate all of our support from our presenting sponsor, Monticello Bay. Don't patronize them. They've been serving the community for 123 years and counting, I believe. NBCBank.com, the GoNBC mobile app, whether you just need some small personal banking, whatever you need, loans, they got you covered. Member FDIC, equal housing lender, Monticello Bank, Friends of 11 personnel. They're simply the best. Simply the best. They put people first. And you're number one for listening to 11 personnel. Thank you all much. We'll see y'all next week and hopefully a less chaotic episode. Go Cats and go Kroger.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.